You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is October 27th, 2020. My name is Philip Rossenreich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, it is the Devin Vassell episode. Ooh. We're going to go over all the things you need to know about Devin Vassell, perhaps Orlando Magic fans' favorite prospect in this NBA draft. We'll talk about what he brings to the table, how he would fit with the Orlando Magic, and a whole lot more. I got a lot of sources from throughout the Locked On podcast I work to help us analyze and break down Devin Vassell here on the show. But before we do any of that, I do want to remind you all you can check out all the great podcasts on the Locked On podcast network by searching wherever you download podcasts for Locked On and the team you're looking for. Just like this podcast here covering the Orlando Magic with excruciating detail, this podcast covering every single team in the NBA with the same level of care and detail that you can only expect from a local expert who knows their team best. Want the lowdown on the Atlanta Hawks, let's say. They're apparently thinking about moving the number six pick in order to make a bid for the playoffs. Check out Locked On Hawks for a look at perhaps the number one or number two pick. Locked On Wolves, Locked On Warriors. No matter what team in the NBA, there is a local podcast for you. Plus, we got great national podcasts and Locked On NBA, the Duncan and Hollinger NBA show, and a whole lot more. But the Tampa Bay Rays getting set to play Game 6. Get your World Series recap with Locked On Rays. And, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trying to make it a Tampa threesome in finals games. That was an odd phrasing. You can find all these great podcasts wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Locked On and the team you're looking for, the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Orlando Magic fans have had their eyes on a very specific set of skills when it comes to this draft, when it comes to the offseason in general. When you look at the Orlando Magic, their biggest weakness is undoubtedly shooting. Their inability to shoot hurts them in the playoffs. It was painfully obvious in the 2019 playoffs. It was painfully obvious in the 2020 playoffs. Essentially, the Toronto Raptors dared the Magic to shoot to beat them, and when Evan Fournier, perhaps the Magic's best shooter, was unable to shoot, they doubled down on that strategy. Sure, it got Orlando a game, but it couldn't win a series. The Magic shooting simply was not good enough and not nearly a threat enough. Fast forward to the 2020 playoffs, and that threat was apparent too. The Milwaukee Bucks essentially ignored the Orlando Magic from the perimeter. They decided to pack the paint. They let Nikola Vucevic get his mid-range jumpers, and while they added a little bit of pressure to him, their bet, their gamble, was the Magic did not have enough shooters to beat them at the end of the day. They only needed that one big run to put the Magic away. And in fact, you look at the two games the Magic were truly competitive in against the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoff series. They were the two games where Gary Clark hit 4 3-pointers. He made 4 in the game one victory and a thrilling upset victory. And then 4 in game 4 where the Magic had 5 bad minutes at the start of the fourth quarter. And that was the game. We've sat here and said that the Magic need to improve. And I've sat here and said that Jeff Weltman needs to put his focus on adding the kind of skills that will make this team better. And while I'm a firm believer that the draft is not a place to address needs necessarily, the draft is a place to get a quality player and someone who will contribute to the team moving forward. You don't draft a player for what they'll give you next year. You draft a player for what they'll give you 4, 5, 6 years down the road. They need to be able to play. They need to be able to provide something off the top. But undoubtedly, the Magic are also at a stage of their development where they need to fill in skills. A major criticism and a fair criticism of Jeff Weltman is that the players that he's drafted aren't shooters. That facing this clear need for shooting, he added another defensive-minded wing in Al-Farouq Aminu with his lone free agent option. And certainly now with the prospect that DJ Augustine will not be on the roster, the Magic are in desperate need of shooting. That's just a plain fact. This draft has shooters. And no shooters capture Magic fans' attention and imagination quite like Devin Vassell of Florida State. We talked about Aaron Nesmith, one of the other shooters in a previous podcast, but Devin Vassell is perhaps the most well-known and the most well-liked prospect among Magic fans, and someone who has very, very quickly risen up draft boards, or at least the perception of the draft board. I mean, I think the private draft board of teams is very different than the draft boards that we see among media and fans. Devin Vassell is a shooter. In fact, I would describe him as the perfect description of a 3-and-D player. That is not meant as an insult. Last year, he averaged 12.7 points per game, shot 49% from the floor, 41.5% from three, added 5.1 rebounds, 1.4 steals, and 1.0 blocks, so 2.4 stocks. This is a guy who shoots well off the move, is able to come off screens and hit his jumper. This is a guy who is able to fly to the basket and streak to the basket when given the lane. This is a guy who has a little bit of a dribble pull-up, who has all that. But it's not just his shooting that makes him super valuable. It's not just his shooting that matters. What matters is all the other stuff. He's a great shooter, but he's also a great defender. And if you look at Florida State and their track record of adding NBA players, they're all strong defenders. That is essential. I mean, Jonathan Isaac, obviously a strong, strong defender. You look at Terrence Mann, Fiondu Cabangele, Dwayne Bacon. These guys make it in the league, even if they're not the most super talented players in the world, because they get down and defend. They know how to put in the work. Leonard Hamilton has a reputation of putting players in the league who do not need a lot of work defensively, who do not need to know how to put in that kind of work. And trust me, coaches like that a lot. Devin Vassell has risen draft boards because he is someone that is not going to need a lot of work to get into the game. He could still get a lot better, obviously. But he does not need a lot of work to get into the game. As a sophomore, too, he's got a little bit more experience than some of these other players. And in an offseason where there won't be a summer league, where there won't be a training camp, that is incredibly valuable. But don't just take my word for it. Let's hear what John Hollinger has. Let's see what Chad Ford has to say about Devin Vassell.
He is, again, you're seeing a trend here with teams wanting wings, and he's got elite shooting ability, elite defensive ability. There's some concern that he's been tinkering with his shot. That could be a potential problem down the road. But the versatility, again, is just such a coveted thing in the NBA, that these players that can play multiple positions, especially on the wing, that can defend multiple positions and can stretch the floor, they're coming at a high value right now, and they're rising a bit in the draft. Actually, Vassell, we've dropped a couple of spots from where he was before, but he still sits in that, you know, 6 to 15 range. It's a big range, I know. Like, what are we doing with a 10-point range this close to the draft? But again, I think it's the nature of these prospects. They all have warts. They all have things that, depending on the team and scout, can kind of turn you off, and things that you would like.
Notice the 6 to 15 range, and notice who picks 15th. It is very difficult to see the Orlando Magic passing on a guy like Devin Vassell if he's available at 15, unless the shot, which Ford alluded to there, has been tinkered with so much that it no longer is functioning. There was that video that came out last week where Vassell was shown shooting, and it got ridiculed and taken down very, very quickly because he kind of changed to a Michael Redd-style slingshot shot. And Vassell was already a very good shooter, so seeing that kind of tinkering is certainly concerning. And I would imagine the Magic would want to make sure that, A, they get him in their facility as one of the 10 guys that they can interview or bring in, and get a good look at him and get a good look at what's changed and whether that's something that makes sense for them. But just based off his college tape, the shooting is very, very real. The shooting is a piece that the Magic absolutely need. It's a piece that the team is hunting for. And Vassell seems to have it. Not only that, he has the versatility the team likes. He has the length the team likes. He's not like supernaturally long, but he is a good he's already a good defender that can do all those things. And that's why he's probably number one on a lot of Magic fans' draft boards. That's why he's probably the top guy that teams are looking at. And what I want to do with the rest of this podcast is kind of discuss a little bit more about how he compares to other players in his class. We'll bring in Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks to discuss that a little bit, as he did a lot of review on these draft prospects, and so we'll lean on him a little bit, and discuss where he fits into the larger context of this class and where he fits, again, with the Orlando Magic. We'll get into all that here in just a moment. But first, let me tell you a little about rockauto.com. You know, I was driving in my car the other day, and, you know, I have all these early alert systems telling me if systems aren't working or malfunctioning and all that jazz. And it was pretty scary, especially because I had to turn them off repeatedly because none of them were like super urgent, but the car seemed to make them feel like they were. To say the least, when your car needs to go to the shop or your car needs to be fixed or you need to do something to your car, it is disconcerting. It is not a good feeling. It is not a place you want to be. Your car is something that you need to take care of. And that's why rockauto.com is the best place to go get your auto parts that you need to take care of your vehicle. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Vassell is a guy who, you know, is very highly regarded. I think he's been a quick riser this year. Listed at like 6'7". He's pretty skinny, about 200 pounds-ish. 6'10 wingspan-ish as well. I've said this a number of times, but just my general way to describe him broadly is he's one of the most projectable players in the draft. I think he is a pretty easy integration almost anywhere as a 3-and-D guy. His off-ball defense was really, really good this year. Maybe like the best in the draft in terms of non-bigs anyway. Like he's always in the right spot. He really reads the game well. He's not a terribly incredible athlete. He's not that strong either, but he's always in the right place. Got great hands, anticipation, etc. And offensively, has some creation ability. He's a good shooter. He's got a high release. Lots to like on that front. I think for me, he's like a pretty just a plug and play, very strong supporting role player type. And that's not sexy. I know that he's got some upside beyond that, but in a league that just needs all kinds of 3-and-D players on the wing, he projects as that. And as a result of a bad draft and the fact that I think he's pretty safe, he lands in the top 10.
That was Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks breaking down Devin Vassell. And that's a pretty good description of what Devin Vassell is. A 3-and-D guy, able to get his shot, able to work off the ball, which again, I think what you know, a lot of people really focus on with some of the, with these drafts sometimes is who's got the star potential, who can be your number one guy. But in reality, you need to find role players. And yes, the Magic do need a number one guy, don't get me wrong. But they also need guys like Devin Vassell who can shoot and work off the ball and who can defend at a high level. And again, Vassell is a very strong defender. That's almost a requirement if you're going to play at Florida State, if you're going to be a high-level player for the Seminoles, and to see the growth that he had from year one to year two. What I want to do here with the next two segments, and we'll have a segment coming up here where we talk about a player that isn't that we haven't gone over yet, so we'll break him down a little bit too. What I want to talk about here is how Devin Vassell compares to other similar players. Is Vassell really the best 3-and-D guy in the draft? I think that much is clear, but is he the best shooter in the draft? Now, there are shooters in this draft. There are quality shooters in this draft. We talked about Aaron Nesmith. Sadiq Bey is a solid shooter as well. You know, a guy like, we'll talk about Tyrese Halliburton here coming up, also a quality shooter with some questions as well. There is no perfect player in this draft. As Brad Rowland said, drafting a guy like Devin Vassell isn't the sexy pick. It's kind of sexy to Magic fans because they're very familiar with him at Florida State. they're so desperate for shooting that they'll take the shooting over everything else almost. Certainly, that is part of the equation. That is all part of the things that the Magic will consider. And certainly, Vassell should be very high on the team's board. Again, assuming that the video that came out last week was a joke of some sort. It's definitely going to be a process. And Vassell has climbed out of the 15 range, I think. I mean, I think he will be drafted comfortably in the 8 to 12 range. You know, I've seen him in mock drafts as high as 6, although I think that was before the video of his shot came out and some other things came out. I think that Vassell is certainly a player that's on everyone's radar. And I think the number one guy that you have to compare him to is Aaron Nesmith. But first, before we get into that, I have another clip to play for you. I got a lot of clips on this show. Another clip to play for you with Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat as he describes the growth and maturation of Devin Vassell.
What was the biggest thing that jumped off to you as far as how he became, went from like a key reserve, maybe not even a key reserve, to the leading scorer and a player that is looked at as a possible top 10 pick?
I think the biggest thing was really just his usage, his minutes went up. I mean, I think, Look at some of the guys, the Fiondu Cavangeli and Terrence Mann, who are now both in the Clippers organization, guys who left after Devin's freshman year, and really just that opened the door for him to play more. I mean, he was a guy who, even though he did not play a ton of minutes as a freshman, kind of made the most of those, and I think led the team in three-point shooting percentage, and you instantly saw, oh, wow, this is a guy who's going to overachieve relative to kind of his recruiting ranking coming in. I mean, that's such a thing. And he's really breaking the norm of that for a guy who's going to get drafted where he is. But it was really just that with those guys gone, he could step into a starting role. And I mean, made the most of it. Is a well-rounded scorer, one of the better defenders on the team, passes well. There wasn't really an area where I just looked at the growth he made. He was a guy really from day one, you saw, oh, he's going to have an impact. He is a better player than a lot of people thought they were getting. It was just a matter of him waiting his turn. And when he got that turn this past year, I mean, he made the most of it, so much so that he left in 2 years, which I don't think many people saw coming in.
And that's something that a lot of draft prospects actually like. They like guys who improve and gradually get better, who show that kind of improvement. If you're going to stay in college, if you're not going to come out of the draft as a freshman and you're going to be a high draft pick, you better show significant improvement. You better show that you're not plateauing, that you haven't reached your peak, that you are getting better and better and better. And Vassell, obviously, he got more playing time. He didn't play a lot as a freshman. He was kind of the sixth man of that Florida State team off the bench. He proved that he could take on a little bit of a bigger role, and those skills could translate to a little bit of higher usage. And again, that's super important. The player that I think most of us want to compare Devin Vassell to is Aaron Nesmith of Vanderbilt. Nesmith had a higher scoring average, a little bit more efficient as a shooter, but also had the ball in his hands a lot more. 26% usage rate, a guy that is very similar to Vassell in that respect, I suppose, where he works really well off the ball, is able to get his own shot, but not necessarily the most athletic guy, not necessarily a guy that's able to create his own shot. If you draft a guy like Nesmith or a guy like Vassell, you've got to generate an offense that will create opportunities for them. And Vassell can certainly, you know, help spread the floor and be a guy that you kick out to. That's a big part of his equation. That's a big part of his skill. But it is certainly very, very, you know, very, very possible and very, very capable of playing at that level and providing that kind of production. To me, if you're asking me, Vassell is certainly a better defender. So if you're looking for Vassell to fill a 3-and-D role, he can fill that role. To me, though, Aaron Nesmith is the better prospect because of his scoring ability, because of his upside potential. When you look at the draft, you got to look at upsides and downsides. At his most optimal, Aaron Nesmith can be a Buddy Hield type. I mean, I know I said on my podcast earlier about Aaron Nesmith. If Aaron Nesmith becomes Buddy Hield, that is a very good prospect. And especially from the Magic's perspective, and this is really for any NBA team, I would rather trade up to get Aaron Nesmith than take on Buddy Hield's contract. If that's Nesmith's optimal outcome, I think Nesmith can be
that kind of player where he can create his shot through one or two dribble pull-up moves, kind of sidesteps and escapes, and then work off the ball as a cutter as well. And I think that's something that Aaron Nesmith is very, very good at. But if you're looking for a guy that's, you know, but if Aaron Nesmith can't do that, let's say Aaron Nesmith doesn't become that, what is he? Is he just a spot-up shooter? Is he just a guy that you can work off cuts a little bit? I mean, he's not Terrence Ross. He doesn't have that kind of speed and athleticism. What is he? And this is why Devin Vassell is such an interesting pick to me, is because, you know, Vassell at his best, he could be, you know, Ray Allen's a little far, Michael Redd's a little far, but he could be that kind of player where you run him off screens, he's able to hit a lot of shots, and he defends at a high level, and he fits perfectly into your defensive scheme. That's all very, very, very good. That's all very, very, very good. But if he doesn't become that, his baseline is a 3-and-D player. I mean, he's not Bruce Bowen or anything like that, but he can be a player that defends well, fits into your defensive scheme, and you just, you know, put him in the corner or put him somewhere on the floor, and he is a threat to shoot. That stuff doesn't go away. To me, then, Devin Vassell is probably one of the safer picks in this draft. That's really the best I can do to describe him, is he is just simply a guy that can go play immediately, as we recorded earlier in this podcast. He can just play immediately. And yes, the draft isn't about what you can do immediately. It's about what you do down the road, and Vassell certainly can continue to get better. But having someone that can give you something immediately, especially for a team like the Magic that is, frankly, still trying to compete and still trying to win, that has tremendous value. There's one more player to compare Devin Vassell to. We'll do so after the break as we take a quick look at Tyrese Haliburton, someone that we will certainly talk about a little bit more down the road. The other player that I want to compare Devin Vassell to very quickly is Tyrese Haliburton. Now, they are different players. And Haliburton is ranked higher on most draft boards that I've seen. And I would generally say that this is true. Haliburton, the 6'6" guard from Iowa, 6'5", 6', you know, somewhere in that mid-6-foot range, guard from Iowa State. He is, he played point guard essentially at the college level. Did some really good things there. A high volume passer, you know, good driver. Can get to the basket, is an improving three-point shooter. I wouldn't say he's like a pull-up threat or anything like that. And I wouldn't say he's much of a pull-up threat in general. He either gets to the basket or he's dishing it back out to the perimeter. His shot is a little bit flat, is how I would describe it. I think there are concerns with Haliburton and how he will be able to get his release off at the NBA level and create space a little bit with that kind of a shot. But overall, I mean, the percentages are all there. He's a good enough shooter. You know, he's got the defensive size that you like. And so, like, especially his defenders, comparing him and Vassell is certainly very poignant and very on point, I think. I think that this is definitely something that the Magic, you know, that the Magic are looking at. You know, Haliburton is the kind of player that the Magic would look at. And a lot of people have compared Haliburton to Killian Hayes, who we discussed a few podcasts ago as well. Killian Hayes, I think, is not as good as Tyrese Haliburton. I think Hayes might be a little bit better getting to the basket, but Haliburton is a better shooter and a better passer, and especially if you're looking at him to play some point guard and to be on the ball a little bit more, I think that Haliburton has more skill and more value there. I think as well, Halliburton's passing puts him above Vassell. Vassell is a 3-and-D guy and projects to be kind of on that range. You know, Haliburton, I think, has higher upside for sure. You know, actually, and I think, you know, maybe a better comparison would be Haliburton and Nesmith, who's going to reach their ceiling. And I think the biggest concern with Nesmith is his recovery from his injury more than anything else. Although now, you know, by the time the season starts, we'll be a year from the point that Nesmith had the injury. So he should be completely good to go, just hasn't played very much. Haliburton, I think, has a lot of skill. And I mean, you'll notice this about a lot of the players in this draft. There is considerable upside, but not a whole lot of surety that a player will reach that upside or reach close to that upside. And a lot of guys that if they don't reach that upside, their downsides are just a big risk. And I think that's especially at the top of this draft. I talked about LaMelo Ball a little bit, Anthony Edwards a little bit. those guys, I think if they don't reach their peak or close to their peak, they're going to be very difficult to put on an NBA floor. I think that's the risk. And again, that's why I tend to shy away from trying to trade up into the draft. If I'm trading up for the Magic, I'm trading up into that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 range to go get a guy like Vassell or to go get a guy like Haliburton. But let's hear from Brad Rowland again to see what he thinks of this comparison between Haliburton and Vassell.
Devin Vassell would work anywhere. Like, the idea of Devin Vassell is not sexy at all, but it's a 3-and-D guy who shoots it and plays off-ball defense. He's what, 6'7"? Like, that player works anywhere, and if it works even a little bit, you have a guy in your rotation that's making real money, and he's going to be a really valuable piece of your team. If Haliburton gets in a bad situation and some of what he can't do gets magnified over what he can do, that may not go well. He may be a second draft guy that needs to get to a better situation. Like, it's just not that scalable. He needs to be in a good situation. That's where I know PD said all this when he was on my podcast, but he really is a ceiling raiser in a way that is a bit strange for a role player. Like, people think of role players as guys who are just, you know, kind of fit anywhere and do little things, and that Haliburton has some of that, but I do think that his weaknesses would be magnified on a bad team. He's someone who needs to be on a good team and playing with guys who are at least one, probably two, really good offensive players where he could just do the little things and not have to worry about creating.
I mean, I think that's just a perfect description for a lot of players in this draft. And obviously the Magic are a team that has a lot of their pieces fit together. I mean, I think if you look at Haliburton coming to Orlando, you know, would he be able to play alongside Markelle Fultz? Is he a good enough shooter? Is he a reliable enough shooter to play alongside him? That would be the central question to drafting a guy like him, to say, can he fill this role and provide this need to help make others around him better? Because I do agree with that I think Haliburton can make a lot of pieces of the puzzle fit together better because he has the ball in his hands. He's sort of like I don't think he's as athletic as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but he's sort of like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that way. But instead, actually, Haliburton is probably a little bit more skill-based than Alexander was, where Alexander was a little bit more athletic and going at the basket than Haliburton is. But I do see that point, and I do see that analysis coming true. The question is, what fits best for the Magic? And again, fit isn't necessarily what's important. It's talent. But when you're trying to build a team, and I think this is a fair criticism of Jeff Weltman, when you're trying to build a team, you need to have an overarching vision. You need to find players that fit that overarching vision. At some point, you do need to pick players that you want to build around. And you do need to bring in players that will make those players better. The criticism of the Chuma Okeke pick is, why take Chuma Okeke when you have Jonathan Isaac and you have Aaron Gordon and they all play the same position? Why take Chuma Okeke and then sign Al-Farouq Aminu? I think that is a fair criticism. And so the question when it comes to Tyrese Haliburton, when it comes specifically to the Magic, is does he make the Magic's overall vision better? Does he help Markelle Fultz be better? Would he work well with Nikola Vucevic? And I think honestly, the question there is, the Magic would need some more shooting, for sure. I think that if you took Markelle Fultz off the team, Haliburton would make a lot of sense. I'm not sure it makes sense with Fultz on the team. And so I honestly, like, as far as need and trying to trade up, Vassell was probably the better fit and would probably help this Magic team be a lot better, even though he has a lower ceiling. That doesn't mean I don't think Haliburton is the better player, and I hope I made this distinction that, you know, I think a guy like LaMelo Ball is the best player in this draft. That doesn't mean I would trade up for him if I'm the Magic. I think those are two very different things. If I were drafting first, I would take LaMelo Ball. If I were trading up to one, I wouldn't touch that trade, because I don't think that trade is worth the cost to get it. If you win the number one pick, take LaMelo Ball, best player in the draft. If you're trying to trade up, if you're trying to go up and get someone, LaMelo Ball is not the guy I would go up and get. And frankly, Tyrese Haliburton, you could talk me into. I don't think Tyrese Haliburton is the kind of guy that I would go up and get. Devin Vassell, Aaron Nesmith, those are really the two players that if I were the Magic, I'd be trying to trade up and go get. I think those are the two guys that would help this team the most and really help this team grow a whole lot more. And as I said, I think Nesmith is higher rated in my book because of his upside. I think he can teach defense. I think that he can learn that. I think he's really pretty NBA ready as well. And I think he's a better shooter than Devin Vassell, but Vassell certainly has a defense, and I wouldn't mind trading up to get him. I know that was a lot, but Devin Vassell is a very popular prospect among Magic fans. We'll hopefully do more podcasts like this where we do deeper dives into individual prospects that Magic are certainly looking at. We wanted to make sure we grabbed Devin Vassell while we were here. But I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. Of course, find me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. Find the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalay, Google Play, Spotify, and all the fun places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. Again, you can find me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. And for the latest on the Orlando Magic, check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow us there on Twitter at @OMagicDaily. That's going to do it for me today, though. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. For Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich. We'll see you all again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.